Blog Talk Radio.
Good Sunday morning. And I want to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. And I want to wish all the mother figures a happy Mother's Day. And I want to say to all the mothers-to-be, and you too, happy Mother's Day, for you're doing the job today that no one but mothers can do. You're listening to the I Love Politics show. I'm B. Sayers. Today is Sunday, May 10th, 2015. It is 10:30 a.m. It's 11:30 a.m. Central Daylight Time. The show comes to you from Texas. The title of my show today is Teach a Child, and He Will Not Depart from It. That's what I want to talk to you about. We have a lot of problems in America today. And my belief is because the teaching of the children has fallen too low on the totem pole. And it happened, I do believe, because trying to pay the cost to live in America gone out of the roof. There was a time when it did not take two salaries, a mother and a father, to take care of family. And today, the average family needs two salaries. And so, when you're spending, two parents are spending 80 hours a week, minimum on jobs, not making enough money to even have someone do the chores at the home, the children fail. The children fall in the cracks. We have problems in America today. I do praise, I do politics, and I do productivity. These are three areas that I'm very well versed on. And I know that these are three areas that we must have in our lives if we are to be successful as not only a family, not only a community, but as a nation. And we're falling down. Today in America, we are having problems with blacks being killed by police officers. Unarmed blacks. I'm not talking about a black that went in and had a gun and tried to shoot up someplace and the police come and had to kill that person. That is not the person I speak of on this Sunday morning to you. I'm speaking of the person who had no gun. The police knew the person had no gun. The person was fleeing from the police, and the police saw nothing wrong in gunning down a fleeing unarmed black person. And the biggest part to this, the other part, is too many people in society feel it's okay. It's okay for the police to take a life of an unarmed fleeing black person. That's our problem today. And I think every time it comes up, the media, the police union, people who wants to protect the police, quote unquote, they start talking about the family of the person that was killed. Did that person have some type of record already? All kind of things that have nothing to do with a police officer gunning down an unarmed person. Well, you know, I want to say to you this Sunday morning, first of all, that blacks have always been a people who believe in prayer, who believe in God. This is what brought us out of slavery. Blacks come from separated families. Blacks are a part of America because blacks were separated from the motherland and brought to America, tongue, giving up the people, their ancestry, to start anew in a foreign land. And had it not been for the belief in God, they would not have survived slavery. My ancestors would not have survived slavery. So blacks have always had a belief in prayer. It's our foundation. And so this Sunday morning I say to you, when we teach a child, he will not depart from it. So when I see these police officers gunning down people, I wonder, what was that police officer taught? What was his teachings? How was he brought up? How was his parents brought up? That's what I think to myself. Now, my chat room is open. If you got an answer for me, I'm right here. You can call in 323-417-6838. Because you see, when police officers can kill people, take a human life, I have to wonder how they were brought up, how they were raised. But nobody asks how was these police officers raised. When they kill an unarmed black, the question is, how was that black raised? What is the rationale there, except for to say that black life meant nothing to nobody but those who love that black person? And so that mean it meant something to me. I love my black brothers and sisters. And we are no more perfect than any other group of people. And we are no more worse than any group of people. And God loves us all. And so my question is, why would a white police officer, or any police officer, now it's mostly white, but I'll say any police officer, how was that police officer raised? If you're going to question how the dead man lying in the streets was raised, then question how that police officer was raised. Tell me how that officer who took that man's life was raised too. I know that's the problem in America. How people are being raised in this country today is the problem. And I say to you all this Sunday morning, you know, America confesses that 9 of every 10 of us says our religion of preference is Christianity. If that be the case, how is it that no one questions the officer who guns down a fleeing man? That no one questions the officer who shoots into a crowd of black people and kills an unarmed black woman who happened to be in the crowd, who had nothing to do with the reason that those officers were shooting? And that no one questions why it is that a kid in a park playing with a gun loses his life inside of 9 seconds. 9 seconds from the moment a police car drives up, that 12-year-old child lays dead in the snow in a park because he was out there playing with a toy gun. And someone tell me why nobody questions the life of a police officer who can go into a store, a Walmart store, where a customer is in the toy department with a toy gun, and the police run in and shoot the man down dead in the aisle, and no one questions that how that officer was raised. That's why I say to you all this Sunday morning, who are the prayer warriors in your families today? Are there any more prayer warriors? Who are the prayer warriors in your churches today? Are there any more prayer warriors? Because you see, I come from a generation where I was told that my parents prayed for me, my grandparents prayed for their children, which means they prayed for me. My great-grandparents prayed for their children, my grandparents, which my parents, and they all prayed for me. And I was taught to believe that I live today off the prayers of my great-great-grandparents. And I know that my great-grandmother was a child slave. And I learned from my family history that they prayed for me, that they prayed when slavery was freed, the slaves were freed in 1865, that they prayed that the Lord make a way for them, because now they were from under the thumb of the white masters. So I believe today that my successes in life I owe to the prayers of those who went before me. And this is why I have to ask the question today, who are the prayer warriors in your family? Do you have them? Because I know they have to be missing in these families when police officers are shooting down people. The prayer warriors in the families of those police officers are missing in action. The prayer warriors of those young people who are being killed are missing in action. Prayer warriors of our politicians are missing in action. The prayer warriors in the families of the CEOs are missing in action. And that's why we have chaos in America today, in our families, in our churches. Because we as a people, we as a nation, was taught in life the values of our parents. The values of our families were instilled in us. The values of our country, the American dream, became a part of us. As we went out and took jobs, we thought of the American dream and that we would have it because we would work hard. And we would work long, and we would respect laws, and the American dream would come to us. And from 1865 on, as a black group of people, we believed, and we saw it not coming as soon as we would have liked for it to come, but we still believed that it would come. And we believed not just in word, but in deed and in truth, because we worked for it, prayed for it. We learned about holidays and traditions in our youth, holidays and traditions that belong to our families. We learned this, and we carried this as a badge of honor. We learned about our ancestors from our families, and we carried it as a badge of honor. We, as a black people, was not taught to hate. You better not be found even saying hateful words about nobody. Because those prayer warriors were there on the job, and they, if you spoke words that was negative, they had some of God's word to wash your mouth out with. We weren't taught hatred. The evil I see in America today, the prayer warriors of our families and our communities and our churches saw to it that we didn't do evil things to one another. It wasn't acceptable. We learned about how to respect police officers. We were taught to respect police officers. I'm from that generation. I am the fifth generation from slavery in my family. And I was taught to respect police in our communities. I was taught that. It was only after civil rights, that right before civil rights, that things got the worst. And the reason it got worse is when blacks started to stand up for equal rights in the 50s, that's when police got even worse than ever before. Oh, yeah, all along the way, there were things happening, and blacks were being locked up and in a prison falsely and all that stuff, but we kept praying and we kept working and we kept trusting the Lord that things would get better. And it just wasn't happening fast enough based on the work that we were doing as a people. We were taught that voting is important. I remember when there was a poll tax receipt that had to be paid in order to vote. And the cost of that poll tax receipt, I can remember those monies had to be saved up. My parents had to save that money up so that they could vote. And voting was important. And they taught us to vote. And it took money out of our daily budgets to vote. And then we were taught that anything was possible, that we can do anything. Just stay in school, respect the law, work hard. That's what we were taught in America. And it turned out to be an institutional lie. Because we got it from the teachers, we got it everywhere. And it turned out that it was all a plot. The judicial freedom we wanted didn't get here. The financial equality that we wanted didn't get here. The racial equality we sought didn't get here. We ended up with poverty and more poverty and the militarization of the police against us and our communities and racial injustice everywhere we go as black people and institutional racism in any place where we might would have sought to make our lives better, from housing to jobs to health care. There were places we couldn't go and there were things we could not access. And things we could not buy just because we were black. But we were taught to believe in God and love thy neighbor and pray for our leaders and that charity begins at home. But now we know that when slavery was abolished in 1865, and the masters were paid to release their property, being released to Africans, and the government paid them to release the Africans, my ancestors. And the government was to pay the slaves so that they could make a life for themselves, because they come to America without a stitch on them, in the belly of ships, hog-tied, purchased by wealthy white men, stabilized as you do cattle, beat as you do a mule, and this was the life of blacks in America for 450 years. So when slavery was abolished in 1865, the promises made to former slaves now by government, 40 acres and a mule, never came into reality. And so by the time we got to 1865, by the time we got to 1965, 100 years later, Civil Rights Act was passed, and again, blacks were promised that now we would be assimilated into society, We would get jobs. We would be paid equal wages as our white counterparts. We would be able to get health care in hospitals. We would get everything our white counterparts were receiving in America. We could now access the American dream. And for those who were ready in 1865, a lot of them did receive a lot of the things that the Civil Rights Act promised. But you see, that was only a portion. Every year in America, a new set of adults come of age. So from 1865 to 2015, 50 years later, progress once again hasn't come. The 40 acres and a mule didn't get here. Instead, we ended up with segregation. And from 1965 to 2015, we didn't get the equality on the jobs. Instead, we ended up with institutional racism, which means it kept blacks out of schools, out of certain communities, out of pay raises, out of even when they joined the military, they did not receive what they should have received as far as incentives. It just have never been that America, the promises. When LBJ passed off the Civil Rights Act, the whites who was against civil rights, who were Democrats, fled the Democrat Party and went to the Republican Party. And they fled the Democrat Party because they did not want to see equal rights for black people in America. It has never been that America has had equal rights as for all its people. Blacks have never been a part of society. And so the programs for poverty was nothing more than budgets going into cities and paid professionals getting high salaries to talk about poverty. And the only thing the people, the blacks in the communities, was getting was food stamp programs. There were training programs, a few other things they had to jump through hoops for. And of course, everybody didn't have the legs needed to jump through the hoops. So every year, more and more people were left behind as a result. You see, when you teach a child the way you want him to grow, he doesn't fail you. And that's why we got so much racism now, because so many white people taught their children to be racist. Because if it wasn't being taught, we would be through with it after 100 years. After 150 years, we would be through with it. We are not through with it, and it only means that they are white children are still being taught to be racist. You cannot call it anything else but what it is. I don't think it's the majority of white people. No, I'm not naive, and I'm definitely not ignorant. But I do think the majority of white people do not know American history. And because they don't know American history, they got grandparents and parents who have taught them ugly, racist things. They don't understand the history of where blacks come from, so they just believe that blacks is just a bunch of lazy people who chose not to work. Because whites as a whole don't know the history of blacks in America, they can readily accept that if blacks had went to work, they would be equal to. Well, I can say blacks are equal to, and I will go one step further to say that if you look at the white race of people, that's my age, and you look at the black race of people, that's my age, and you know that today I'm 150 years out of the slavery of my ancestors, then I have to ask my white counterparts, why is so many of y'all doing worse than me? Because you was not enslaved in America. You are not 150 years out of slavery. If anything, your ancestors were slave masters. And if it wasn't slave masters, they were the overseers. And if they weren't the slave masters or the overseers, why didn't they do more? That's what we should be asking. Why did so many white people fail at success? Because when I look at my black counterparts and I look at my white counterparts, I have to say most of the black people I know that own 2 and 3 homes, bought them, worked and paid for them. Yes, they did. Thing that blacks were able to do, I say to America today, whites should have tripled it. You should have tripled it. And if you didn't, you're the weakness in America today. And the weakness that we face in America today comes from politicians, comes from corporations, and it comes from the Supreme Court of the United States. Politicians, we get by voting. Most white people don't vote. And that's the problem. And then those that do vote, they vote because people white. They don't vote for issues. And when you fail to vote for issues, you miss the boat. And most white voters miss the boat every time. So one of our problems is politicians that's been put in there that shouldn't be there, that's ignorant, that don't care not only for blacks, but they don't care about whites either, because that's the way they were taught and that's the way they are teaching their children. And the CEOs that are running these corporations, a lot of these corporations are fifth-generation corporations. That means these corporations built their industry on the backs of slaves. And they brag about being fifth-generation companies and fifth-generation farmers. Well, all they're saying to me is that you built what you got on the backs of my ancestors. And then they set up a group where they come together and call themselves Elks. And under Elks, they are ruling this country with things like stand your ground laws and voter restrictions and voter ID that you need if you want to vote and racial profiling. All of these are things that's taught in a child by their parents and their grandparents, and the child is carrying it on. And that's the reason America is where it is, because if you're teaching that child, they're going to do what they were taught to do. The Supreme Court even had the nurse, Scalia, to say that blacks think that they have an entitlement. I do. My great-grandmother was 8 years old when slavery was abolished, and all she had was whatever clothes was on her back. And that's where I come from. So when you want to talk about me, don't you forget where I come from. I haven't digressed. I haven't went back. I'm progressing, and my people are progressing every year. It's just that we haven't gotten as far as we should have, because racism has been handed down, because people have taught their children to be racist. The KKK had to teach their children, because they're still finding the KKK in America, in police forces, in leaderships, in companies. I'm B. Says, and this is I Love Politics.